See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Big Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
And Catherine Horan.
Hello.
For the time being.
Right.
As long as her internet holds up.
Very soon. Well, I was going to say also very soon she's going to be.
When my internet goes out.
Quote, unquote.
God, I hope my internet doesn't go out later.
No, your internet's fine.
She's going to be Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie very soon. So. Here we are. And actually, Joe, when this Matt. Episode comes out, it's going to be May 1st.
That's my birthday.
So. Oh.
No, it's not.
Well, hey, happy birthday. Shut up, not. Joe. It is
Come
not.
On.
That's right.
It's not your birthday.
Biscotti.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Brian.
That's right. Joe. Yeah. Joe's someplace
Brian's
like.
Daughter.
Aren't you in December or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in December.
Of course. You guys
that's
know this.
Right. Yeah. Well,
it's
now
December
you got us
14th.
So, you've got us so panicked about missing your birthday because it was a ordeal the last time.
Yeah. It was
well, the first
it's
time.
December 14th, right?
Yeah. 17th. He let it pass without 17th. Saying anything just to be a martyr.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's my birthday. Please
By the way,
something.
You missed you missed my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. May 1st every year.
Because I fucking said so. Yeah, it's December 14th.
Well, good. The soundboard's working.
Joe, what have you watched recently?
I watched a couple of things. Believe it or not, I actually broke down and took my wife to go see Project Hail Mary.
Mm.
Oh.
And that was good. I don't have a complaint, really. It was better than I expected and kind of liked it. I don't know that I'd see it again or that I'm in any huge hurry to see it again just because it's very, very long. But I saw it and I've seen much worse movies. So, but then
high praise from Joe Chan.
Oh, yeah. But my gem of the week. So I had a real treat. I got to go to the theater and see Lee Cronin's The Mummy. And of course, you're all well aware that Lee Cronin was the director of Evil Dead Rise, which was a pretty good film.
What
I've heard.
What was that again? What was that movie?
Evil Dead Rise. I don't know if you would have seen it. It's or had anybody incessantly watch it or talk about it in the past four years. But anyway, I
Are you
went
a fan
there,
of it.
Yeah, seen it once or twice. I went there expecting to basically see Evil Dead Rise again, but just with like some sort of mummy folklore. And I gotta say, I was not disappointed. It even contains two of the cast members in cameos from Evil Dead Rise in it. But that being said, it was a very interesting spin on a very old Universal monster scenario. If he had gone the route of the, mummy in the tomb thing, I probably would not have liked it because it's a story I've seen 100 times and I'm tired of it. But this was great. People lose their child in Cairo and, 8 years ago, 8 years later, she resurfaces and she's slightly changed quite a bit. There's this scene where they're having a funeral in their living room that I just thought was absolutely hilarious. I highly recommend this film. I think you guys should run out to the theaters and spend your hard-earned money and see it there because I thought it was fun. I had a blast. So
cool.
And other than that, I'm watching Kurt Russell in The Miracle right now because it'll take a miracle for the Bruins to get to the Stanley Cup Finals this year. But that's about it. It's all I've seen.
All right. Mark, Anything new for you,
Jimmy?
Well, in honor of Joe Jantz, I watched the new Netflix film Apex, which stars Charlize Theron and a crossbow. I wouldn't consider this horror, but the motives of the procrastinator has horrific means and reasons why this person is doing it. Unfortunately, it's a very predictable plot from start to beginning, especially the beginning, which takes notes from the beginning of that 1990s summit climbing movie Vertical Limit. You know, the beginning, if you've ever seen that film, anybody on a mountain, someone at the beginning of a film and they're rock climbing, one of them's going to die.
You like a cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone?
Uh-huh. And Fall. Didn't Fall have that?
No, they started off with they were free climbing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any movie starting off with someone fucking climbing a mountain, someone's going to die. And it's kind of boring when you see it. It's like, all right, well, obviously it's not going to be Charlize Theron. It's going to be the other guy because, you know, she's the star of the film. So you're just waiting for it to happen. And it wasn't really even that, you know, thrilling to even watch. The performances are fine. And it's an okay survivalist thriller. But, you know, watch the classic film Deliverance instead, you know, with crossbows and bow and arrows and all that kind of stuff. It's a much better film. Just watch the classic. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's there's a great music scene where the guy plays his name's Taron Egerton, I think that's his name, and he plays this song and he's pretty much starts dancing to it, and it's from the Chemical Brothers song Go. And it just kind of gets you like in the groove. And that's really like the only exciting part. I think Joe, I would love Joe to watch this film to critique the crossbow. But I thought the crossbow scenes were pretty cool because, man, those arrows go through freaking trees almost. It's big thuds and whatnot. But it's fine. That's the only thing I really watched. I watched another movie numerous times that we'll talk about later.
Just for the record, I think crossbows are cheating, and I don't know that I want to watch this film. I mean, like, I'd watch it if, like, Eric Bana or somebody cool like that was in it, but
he is in
not.
It.
I'm not. Oh, he is. Okay, I'll
he watch is. It then. He is in it. Not for long.
Sold.
Now. Sold.
Is that it, Mark?
Yeah, that's all I watched.
Catherine, what did you watch?
I actually watched quite a bit since our last episode. I also watched The Mummy.
Oh.
And I also enjoyed it quite a bit. I did like it. I knew it would be bloody and gory. That didn't bother me, but it was gross in other ways. A little more teeth horror, nail horror, just peeling of skin horror than I was necessarily expecting.
The shin.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the shin alone is worth watching this film.
But I'm with you, Joe. I love that it's a completely brand new story. It was, you know, something completely different we haven't seen before with a mummy movie, and I really appreciated that. Let's see. Lots of
Catherine,
stuff that was on streaming.
Excellent taste.
Oh, thank you. I watched some stuff that just came on streaming in the last couple of weeks. One of them was Five Nights at Freddy's 2, which was, I don't know, it was fine. I'm not the target audience for this. I imagine if you played the game or if you're it's definitely geared, I think, towards kind of high schooler, maybe even middle schooler. If you're in that age group, you'll probably love it. I thought it was fine.
How was Matthew Lillard in it? My boy.
He wasn't really in it very
almost
much.
Ah, shit.
Yeah.
And it does have one kind of creepy new character, which I was like, all right, that could be nightmare fuel for a young person. I watched Primate, which is the rabid monkey movie.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it. I'd probably give it 3 cuts. It's a good popcorn movie.
Yeah.
I wish they had kind of hidden the fact that he was rabid. Like, I knew that going in just from other people talking about it. And also the very first thing on screen. tells you about rabies. And so you kind of know that's what's going to happen going in. I wish they'd kind of kept that more of a secret. I think that would have been a little more interesting. Let's see. I watched Dust Bunny.
Ooh.
And that was that? It was not at all what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and I saw the trailer. It looks fantastical. Like,
it's really cool. It's definitely a fantastical world. Definitely more fairy tale. Mads Mikkelsen is fantastic, and so is the little girl. I can't think of her name right now, but yeah, the movie is beautiful. Like, they do great world building. It's a completely new story, and I thought that was fantastic. A little bit of a dark, maybe Wes Anderson type film.
Is it horror?
Yeah, because there's a monster in it.
Okay.
And he's kind of a cute monster.
Okay.
I started Chestnut Man on Matt's recommendation, and I watched all of that. That was great.
Good. So,
yeah. I'm looking forward to the second season, which is starting up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think next week maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think early May.
Might even be May 1st, this Friday, or when this episode comes out. I can't remember now, but I thought it was good. Good, compelling story.
Yeah, definitely. And then I watched Dolly, which came out on Shudder this week.
Oh yeah,
maybe it was coming off of some of these movies from this week. It was just I really enjoyed it. Again, nothing groundbreaking. I gave it like 3 cuts, but it's definitely kind of 70s grindhouse, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, the family in this movie could be cousins with the Chainsaw Massacre family. It was fun, you know, just bloody, gory mess. I will say Sean William Scott is in this movie. And he has some heavy makeup he has to wear in this, and he does a fantastic job with that.
Isn't it a Stifler from American Pie?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, and Dust Bunny, according to IMDb, is monster horror and horror.
All right.
Yeah.
That counts.
Yeah. Yeah, that
girl, girl has a monster in her bed.
I thought that was really good.
Apex does not have any horror.
No. I just watched it for you, Joe.
Is that it?
That's it for me.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I watched.
Hey, Matt, what did you watch?
Yeah. thank you, Joe. I finished The Chestnut Man, and I enjoyed that. I don't remember if I had finished that the last time. I think I still had a couple episodes, or maybe an episode or two. I can't remember now, but I really liked that a lot. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. And then we have gotten about 2/3 of the way through the series, Detective Hola, which it looks like Detective Hull, which is kind of funny because his name is Harry Hull. But it's really it's a Scandinavian film. It's, I think, I don't remember where it's from, Norway or someplace up there, but it's supposed to be pronounced Detective Hola, but it looks like Detective Hull, and his name Harry Hull is kind of funny, but nobody makes a joke about it, so I don't think it's ironic in that country. But that's pretty good. It's kind of interesting. It looks like an American movie, it's a show, but it looks like it was produced by Michael Bay or something like that, but it's pretty good. It's not horror though. There are some horrific things and some gore and whatnot, but I don't think it probably qualifies as horror. It's somewhere in between horror and crime drama. I did finally watch, what was that one? Bone Temple. I didn't like it as much as you guys. I just thought it was okay. I didn't think the story was, as we were getting through it, about 2/3 of the way through, I'm like, this is the story, you know, I don't know. It didn't really do much for me. I thought the big scene where he's acting like he's Satan with the music and everything was pretty funny, but, it was just okay. I didn't like it nearly as much as the previous one.
Would you be willing to watch the next one if they actually make it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch them. Sure. It's not like I didn't like it. I gave it 3.5 cuts. I was really hoping it was going to be like mind blowing, and I didn't feel that way about it.
No.
A lot of it had to do with just the Jimmies. I just didn't buy them. I don't know. They didn't work for me. Let's see. And I think that's it. Yeah, yeah, that's all I've watched so far. So that brings us to our picks. This is Mark's episode.
Yeah.
Like, but he had some help. Well, he had some help, and I'm trying to play. There it is.
I didn't chicken out.
There we go. And Mark, yeah, well, Mark, you know, he's had a bad, he's had a rough run recently. So
I have.
He decided to lean on some friends, and thankfully they were there to help him out. So Mark, take it away.
Well, hey guys, have you ever listened to one of your favorite podcasts and wish they would review a film you really enjoy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not really.
But they never pick it. God, fucking Joe. They never pick it. Have you ever reached out to a podcast, but they never reply back?
No.
Are these rhetorical questions?
Not this podcast. Not CineScare, because this podcast is special.
What a story, Mark.
Yeah, it's not a story. We are special. We don't think we're high and mighty. We don't think we're better than you. We love the listeners. We love Mark Kane and Armando Flores and Jeremy Thompson and Angelica Jackson and Paul Ferguson and Nicole Christine and Patrick Cleary and Brad Haggard and Maddie Sorporis and Rich Sweet.
Oh,
and yes, even the friend of the show, Brian. We love our listeners. So,
Brian, who?
Hey, Joe. What did you watch recently?
Shut the fuck up, Brian. Shut up, Brian.
Shut up, Joe.
Back in your hole.
Shut up. Because I
fucking said so. Yeah, you too, Joe. Just shut up. Because I said so. I am a quillichist.
So mean.
A quillichist? A banquillist.
Fucking.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
A ventriloquist?
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 Yes. Say it again.
Ventriloquist?
Is it ventriloquist?
No, it's ventriloquist. It's ventriloquist. What was he saying?
Ventriloquist.
Oh, boy.
Mark, ventriloquist. I admire your courage to speak in the absence of knowledge.
That's right. And you know when he made this list and he wrote this little script down? He knew he couldn't pronounce it, but he went ahead and went for it anyway. I love that.
What do you mean? I didn't have the ventriloquist. I didn't have that word down there.
It just came off the top of your head?
Well, no, you were doing the sound bites and all that. I was I'm throwing my voice out there. I'm a big.
Okay, folks, everything is fine. Fight is over, folks. I'm sorry, Mark.
So I thought, why not pick three listeners who have asked us to review their beloved horror films?
Hi,
now,
Mark.
I don't know if this is their favorite. Oh, hi. I don't know if this is it's their favorite horror film. And I have to tell you, they are pretty obscure horror films.
They are. You can say that again.
All of them are considered cult films, believe it or not.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah. So what I want to say to our three listeners that reached out to us and wanted us to review their beloved films, if we trash it, if we hate it, it's nothing against you. If we love it, it's nothing against you. It's nothing's personal. We love you guys. And we're having fun watching films, and everybody has their own opinions. One film could be hated and one film could be loved. That's just how it is. And I'm sure everybody knows that. So no feelings are going to get hurt. Hopefully, you know, we're just having fun here. So also, after each review that Catherine does, Joe does, I do, and of course, Mr. Matthew speak, we will give it one cut out of five. We will tally the scores, and whoever has the most popular movie will get a CineScare sweatshirt, and I'll even autograph it if you want. I'll do it in a little black magic mark, and I'll autograph it for you. But whatever hoodie you want, I will get for you, and then I'll reach out to you and I'll send it to you.
Are you getting one for friend of the show, Brian?
No,
No, I thought Brian's not even a part of it. No, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Are you going to autograph a black sweatshirt with a black Sharpie?
I would yes, love to. Yes, I will. Yeah, and yeah, you pick out the color, pick out whatever wonderful graphic design that Mr. Joe Jantz, our talented Joe Jantz, has done. He's a very talented man. Take your pick for whatever graphic you want for the CineScare, and I will get it for you, and I will send it. And yeah. Okay. So we're going to start. We're going to start first with Strangeland, 1998, or Dee Snider's Strangeland, which was requested by Kaylee Rotin. She requested this years ago, and I could never think of how to get this movie into a topic, like for a pick. And I was thinking one time of like rock star horror, where I could pick horror movies with rock star legends in it. But when this was like recommended for us to like review, we were like watching like and reviewing six films at a time, you know, on an episode. I just couldn't think of it. So I thought it was a good time. Also, like I was thinking maybe an internet like horror or something. That would have been a good one. So let's see. We're reviewing it. Yeah, Strangeland. So written by Dee Snider, rock star legend and lead singer of the 1980s glam rock Twisted Sister, Strangeland is about a detective who pursues a sadist who's specializing in body modification rituals who lures teenagers through the internet. Thanks, IMBD. We're going to start with Mr. Joe Jantz first. Joe, what'd you think?
For the record, I yes. too at one time was trying to find a way to introduce this movie as a theme just so we could watch it again. Having seen this movie with fresh eyes, I would have regretted picking this movie. this may have been the last time I will watch this movie. Although it was filled with surprises because it's been so long since I've seen it. I had no idea after all these years that even the girl on the front cover and his first victim was none other than Linda Cardellini or Cardellini.
Yeah.
Who was Hawkeye's wife, I guess, in the Avengers. I don't know. She's been in several thousands of things.
Yeah. Scooby-Doo, Mad Men. She was in Mad Men.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She was a neighbor in Mad Men.
She was in Bloodwater too.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
But anyway, yeah, I had no idea until rewatching this, that was her. And then also we've got a guest appearance of Amy Smart. Who's like the cousin that gets to help out her strange uncle, who's the police detective. And she gets to explain to him how cool the internet is, which was so helpful. I tend to think that a lot of the movies that came out around this time period, this late 80s, were put in place simply just to tell a generation of people, or late 90s, sorry, just to tell a generation of people what the internet was. Like this was like propaganda film to get more people to use the internet. Boy, there's some tremendous acting in this film several parts.
Oh, brother.
Brett Harrelson, who plays the partner, Steve Christian, is by far my favorite in this film.
He's so bad. He's the worst.
Wonderful.
Nobody chews gum and squeezes hand grippers while demanding files from a file clerk like Steve Christian.
Yeah, he's really, you need somebody to do those things, you just call Steve.
And whatever. It was a perfect shot too, because he's sitting at the desk and you see the gun holster at his ankle.
Every picture, every shot was just like a painting in this film. How they set up this movie. I was very nostalgic of the really horrific late to mid 90s computer graphics. How every computer screen seems to have the same icons and the same background. I'm not kidding or being facetious at all. I do get nostalgic over old technology and the 3-inch thick laptops that the police department used to use. were so cool.
Yeah.
I'm surprised somebody didn't throw their back out moving those things around. Again, even the police detective, he's such a loose cannon. He follows no protocol. He needs no warrants, no nothing. And right. His wife, who we barely are introduced to, played by Elizabeth Pena, she always seems like she's just woken up from a bender from the night before.
Oh, Joe, and don't say that. She died of alcoholism.
She probably did.
She did. It's a hard time watching her every time. Like Down and Out in Beverly Hills, even. I'm just like, oh, that.
I remember her from La Bamba. I did kind of think some of the... I'm skipping one. When the detective and his assistant decide to go looking for this Captain Howdy in the club, they walk into the place and they walk through a crowd of all these freaky people doing, you know, lighting little things on fire and putting spikes through their hands and stuff like that. And then they proceed to just walk right upstairs to the balcony, because it's got one, and they start looking down at this crowd of people and they're like, can't find them. Like, did you guys even look? It took you like a minute and a half to walk through the crowd, and then you're upstairs and you're looking at the heads of like 150 people. Of course you're not going to find them. Maybe interview somebody. Maybe stop and talk to somebody once in a while. I also thought it was really fortunate that they had the tow truck driver that they got on the scene. There was a car accident. The tow truck driver, who also coincidentally happens to have like septum piercings and all these tattoos. And if it wasn't for him explaining to them that there's this whole subculture of people with, you know, piercings and they would have no leads. They'd still be standing outside with their thumbs up their butts.
Right.
So thank God that coincidentally happened. Let's talk about Dee Snider for a while.
Sure.
So as Captain Howdy, he likes to sew people's mouths shut, which is kind of neat, but whoever did the makeup for it, it was too loose. Like if my lips were sewn together, but the threads were loose, I could probably still muster the words, "Hey, look behind you."
Look behind you.
Yeah, without having to move my lips up and down a whole lot. But I thought that could have looked a little bit better. So when Dee Snider...
With your lips sewn?
They're not sewn together.
Look behind you.
They weren't sewn together?
They were, but I mean, they're sewn, but they're not like sewn tight. Not like a suture. It's just there happens to be thread. I mean, look at the cover art, for God's sakes. I mean, it's kind of loose. You could probably still ventriloquist your way out of that. Right, Mark? Back me up on this. Say ventriloquist. Yeah,
son of a bitch.
What's the word again?
Ventriloquist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Vancouver.
That's the one.
Did I say it right?
No.
No.
Fuck.
Yeah, I think you said someone who is an expert at
transposing your cue and your.
I think you were saying someone who's an expert at living in Vancouver, a Vancouverist.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a point where Captain Howdy gets abducted. I hope I'm not spoiling anything, and then he gets put into the system, you know, where we rehabilitate people. And they come out all clean and shiny and conservative and new. Mm-hmm. And the way we portray this is we have them tie their long, scraggly hair back in a ponytail. We give them glasses and a button-down collared shirt. Mm-hmm. We button it down. And then we give them a Mr. Rogers sweater. And that basically symbolizes you're a member of society now.
Right. So wouldn't you have gotten a haircut too? Like, you know,
Dee Snider's not going to cut his hair.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Dee Snider, you're going to step into a big role like this. You better be willing.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrote it.
But he does. And then, of course, we give him tons of cakey, pasty makeup to cover over all of his facial tattoos. So he looks totally normal.
He doesn't look normal at all. He's a weird looking man.
I would like to say that I think the cop, the main police detective, needs to have his daughter taken away because his daughter got abducted by the same guy, not once, but twice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
There was one line in this film given by Dee Snider that I really appreciated is, he kills a woman and makes her dance like a puppet in front of Robert Englund. And then he says the line, "Want to play ball, Scarecrow?" You know, from The Wizard of Oz, which I thought was pretty funny. And only in a movie like Strangeland would Robert Englund portray the righteous man who's standing for good. And by that, I mean, we're going to get a crowd of my neighbors together. We're going to abduct Mr. Rogers. We're going to hang him loosely from a tree.
I mean, it's kind of like what they did in Nightmare on Elm Street. So probably got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they finally found all the victims that had their eyes and their lips sewn shut, I thought it was funny that they're taking them out of the house on gurneys into the ambulance and they still have their eyes and mouth sewn shut. Like, don't you think the EMTs would at least have a pair of scissors? They could at least cut the mouths back open.
Yeah. I don't think they're going that far deep, Joe.
Yeah. And I was telling Mark this earlier. So normally when I take notes while I'm watching a movie, I use my notes app on my phone. A lot of times I dictate things, but this is the first time ever out of 146 episodes that this isn't going to do any good to the people at home, but I also added a photo because I had to have that picture of Dee Snider looking like Mr. Rogers in my notes so I could remember just how bad he looked. But my last bullet
almost looks like Miss Gulch from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah. My last note was, I remember this movie being so much better, but oh well. So
Catherine.
That's it. That's Captain Howdy.
Catherine Howdy.
Catherine Howdy.
Yeah. What'd you think?
Well, this was my favorite of the three. It's also the only one I had heard of and seen before. And I think it's got potential. You can kind of see what they're trying to do, what they're trying to get at here. It just needs maybe another two or three drafts and some better actors in it. I admire Dee Snider. It's a passion project for him. You can tell he's trying. Like, I can see him trying to act, you know, going between the Captain Howdy character and Mr. Rogers. I can see him changing his demeanor and his posture, and he's trying. But, yeah, I'm sorry. He sounds like a guy from New York. I don't believe he's a serial killer from Colorado.
It's pretty bad when you can see someone trying to act.
But, yeah, that too. But, like, I can see him making decisions. I get it. But, yeah, it's just, yeah. And the lead detective guy, I was like, oh, they clearly want Ted Levine, but couldn't afford him. Or he didn't want to do this project. Because the whole time, I was like, that kind of looks like they're trying to get that guy.
Well, Dee Snider wrote it, so I'm assuming he wrote the whole thing for himself. So
he's going to play all the characters?
Oh, yeah. Like those Eddie Murphy movies.
Right, exactly. it's kind of fun. You got our Robert Englund double feature here. He's always fun to watch.
Definitely wasn't aware of that.
Get up here. Oh, well, there you go. And I do like the kind of commentary, you know, when this came out, you know, chat rooms and the internet were still kind of new, like Joe was saying, you know, here's your infomercial on how the internet works. That was kind of fun, you know. Good old days of dial-up and everyone crying around the computer and how does this work? But it was kind of, you know, I get what they're trying to do there. You know, this was kind of the Wild West at the time. Nobody quite knew rules or protocol per se. So when this came out, I could see this being, you know, a good idea for a movie like this. Yeah, none of it makes much sense. Joe already pinpointed a few of the holes in the storyline. I also thought, you know, this guy, he has kidnapped and killed at least one person. And yeah, he has mental problems, and I get he went to a mental facility. But would they, when he's rehabilitated, release him back to his home?
Mm-mm.
Wouldn't they want to maybe relocate him or put him in a different home?
There would have been a step down of some kind, yeah, and check-ins and probation.
Right, just leaving him there? Like, you can't do that.
Not when Steve Christian's in charge. It's not necessary.
Well, I mean, not to mention the fact that they released a guy who murdered a bunch of people and tortured them. But yeah,
did they say how long he was in rehab?
4 years.
It was only 4 years.
It was only 4 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Only 4 years.
He killed somebody.
That's the other thing.
Right.
Even if it was like insanity, you're still not going to just release him back into the world.
Right.
After 4 years.
God, who wrote this? Dee Snider?
So, you know, I can appreciate what they're doing. It's not great. Yeah, it was fine.
Hey, Catherine, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You said you could appreciate the bones of this. Like, could you see somebody adapting this same storyline to current times with social media apps?
Oh, definitely.
Like the TikToks on kids. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the Snapchats, maybe.
There you go. The Snapchat killer.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's got potential.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt.
All right. It's a good cast, you know, I suppose. Well, it's got a few people anyway. I do, again, I love having to explain what IM is. That was a nice little dump of information. And at the beginning, he goes in, sees his wife, he goes into his daughter's bedroom. His wife is like looking around the room, and she's like, he doesn't know his kid's not home, and he's in her bedroom and she's not there. And he's like, oh, what? He's like looking around. Yeah, that club scene was like Joe, Mark, and me walking through the dome room on a Saturday night in the mid-90s.
Hey, guys, let's head up to the balcony.
It looked like the dome room, too, because it looked like an old church, just like that dome room was.
Yeah.
Let's see. Half the goths in this club. I mean, have you ever been to a club? Whoever made this, it was probably made by somebody who's never been in a goth club before in their entire lives. Nobody's breathing fire is just something to do in the club. Right. They'd be entertaining maybe, but not just standing there breathing fire or, you know, conducting piercings in the middle of the club like that. It's bizarre.
No, they do. They do. Crowbar does. Crowbar used to. Do the piercing.
Well, no, I mean, maybe they had a guy doing it. They didn't have just people sitting at their table with each other. Doing
oh, exactly.
It.
Yeah. You're right.
It's more like the idea of what an executive producer would think a goth club would be.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
And half the goths in any of these clubs would be the person working with you in your, you know, job during the day. And then they dress up in goths at night. It's really not. I mean, sure, there's a subculture and everything, but a club like that is full of a bunch of people who dress up that way for the weekend. How much time does it take these guys to light all these goddamn candles? I'm not sure. The whole candle thing with serial killers and everything, I'd love to see a scene of him just really organizing the candles and lighting them all and everything.
In real time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's an 8-hour film.
The starting credits.
And then
somebody blew that one out.
He gets to the house. I mean, this whole thing has obviously there's kind of a Silence of the Lamb vibe to this, combined with a little bit of like Seven. You know, it's definitely they're trying to really buy into the Silence of the Lamb vibe. But the cop, you know, when they get to the house, there's no drama to it. He just walks. Oh, I guess I found him. You know, and it's not exciting. Everybody in the room, including the guy in the stocks, they all knew what was going to happen. The guy's going to sneak up behind him while he's trying to unlock the gate.
Look, it's okay, honey. It's okay. You.
He's not looking behind him. What kind of cop is he? And then I'm like, you know, I guess they wanted to do this whole thing where he got released, but that was so unbelievable. I suppose the point was that they wanted to show that he was rehabilitated and then the crazies in town made him crazy again. But it would have been more effective if he just escaped that night. Like, as soon as he saw a cop was in the place, he left and then came back maybe or something like that. Was never caught, but they I guess they wanted to do something else.
He should have found a new place to go to as well.
Yeah.
If he escaped.
Right.
Wouldn't go.
Right. Yeah. He goes right back to his old house. Yeah. Or I'm not sure if that was his old house or not, but
it was.
Well, I'm when he moved, but when he recaptured everybody, was that his old house again?
Oh, yes, no, it wasn't. Oh,
okay. Yeah. And then the dad, like, never mind. The dad, when I meant the dad, I meant, what's his name? Freddie, Robert Englund. He hangs the guy before he's even found out where his daughter is. Right? The whole point of this is he thinks that this guy has kidnapped his daughter and is torturing her. So they go and get him and then they hang him from a tree. And I'm like, wait, you're not going to try to find out where your daughter is first? Like,
we hang just first and ask questions later.
hang him now.
Ah, she's probably dead anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the wife dancing like a puppet scene is so bad. It's like, there's no way this giant D. Snyder is how tall? And then you can't see him behind her. That's so dumb.
He can't see that his wife's neck is, you know, slit too.
He's like come on.
Dancing
like, ooh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, come on. Oh, yeah.
Never underestimate the power of shadows.
And then once again, they catch the guy in the exact same way, basically, with no suspense to it at all. They just walk in the house and they find all these bodies there again. Somehow he had time to get all these a new crop of victims.
And machinery.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was all cleaned up. Everything was cleaned up before and now he's back.
Probably just ordered it all off of Amazon.
I also think it would be pretty easy to find this guy. You just listen for his music, you know. But I think that it would have been, I wonder if he gets tired of that music. And actually, I feel like for some of these scenes, playing Air Supply or something like that, the juxtaposition of those two, what he's doing and the music, like having the stereotypical hardcore music, just, I don't know. And then he starts singing Ring Around the Rosie, which is basically the same concept. I don't know. So yeah, this was by far my least favorite of the three. So,
well, my thoughts of it was basically it's Detective Steve Christian that, you know, made that movie for me. The line delivery from this guy, you know, detective, the partner, the line delivery from this guy was so painfully atrocious. It was absolute joy watching him in every scene.
It could be a good midnight movie, I suppose. Everybody's laughing and making fun of it or whatever.
Yeah. I think all three of these films would be good midnight movies.
Oh, yeah.
I like the premise and idea of Strangeland. It's just not executed well enough. If D. Snyder, I think, let some people do some rewrites and help him with the script, you know, it could have been maybe a little bit more of a decent movie. But I'm glad this movie came out like this instead, because I wouldn't say this is so bad it's good. This is more of a chuckling, wincing, cringe movie. This movie was trying so hard to give us a type of like David Fincher 7. Even like the opening credits was kind of doing that. It's like D. Snyder, I guess he was writing this film back in the 80s, but he must have saw 7 and he just thought that was the cat's meow and he kind of wanted to have that kind of feel to it, I think. But every line that D. Snyder was trying to have those one-liners and just stick it to the wall to see if it's going to catch. He wanted the catchphrase like Freddy Krueger, like welcome to prime time, bitch. Those kind of, you know, he was throwing so many of those to the wall and they were just splatting on the floor. Nothing stuck. But I mean, it was a 90s campy, you know, film for me. So I'll give my first score. I'm going to give it 2.5 cups. Joe, what do you think of it? How many cuts are you going to give it?
I'm going to say 2.
2. Catherine?
2.5.
2.5. Matthew? He's thinking.
He's also on mute.
He's on mute.
Oh, sorry. 2.
All right. I was just like, man, he's really thinking about this. He's taking this seriously.
So that's a 9.
I didn't realize I was on mute still.
For those of you TVs who are at home, that's a 9.
Oh. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Shut up, Joe. Shut up.
Next film. Next film is going to be Killer Tongue, 1996. Now, Killer Tongue was recommended from Tom Malinowski. Killer Tongue is about a bank robber who seeks refuge at a gas station run by nuns, awaiting her boyfriend's release from prison. An alien meteorite transforms her into a flesh-craving monster with a huge long tongue, and her pet poodles turn into drag queens. Surprising tidbit, Jonathan Myers is one of his film debuts. He's from The Tudors, lead actor from The Tudors. He's been in tons of slew of films, but that was pretty much his first film he's ever done. He's Randolph, I think. Rudolph. He was Rudolph, the poodle Rudolph.
Yeah.
That was turned into a man. I'll start first. This movie has a lot of yelling and screaming. Not really screaming in, oh my God, I'm in pain, but screaming, just screaming their lines, screaming, constantly yelling. I love the adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert 5. It was kind of going for, and there was some campy fun to it. Some vibes of Evil Dead with Candy trying to murder her tongue. Did I just say that? Did Candy trying to murder her tongue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a cult.
Said that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is a thing that happened.
That happened in the movie. I thought the movie was off the rails, but when the tongue started talking, I started to actually kind of started enjoying the film. It was my least favorite out of the bunch. So we'll go with Catherine this time. Catherine, you go first.
All right. I only have 4 notes.
God.
The first one was, ooh, Robert Englund. I was like, all right, that's exciting. Also, Doug Bradley's in this, which I was like, they look like they're having a great time. I will also say I think Robert Englund is the Michael Caine of horror. He will never turn down a paycheck. And then my other note brings me back to Lee Cronin's The Mummy. The Mummy takes place in New Mexico. And as someone who was born and raised in New Mexico and lived there for most of my life, I went, there is no way in hell this is New Mexico. And so my note here for Killer Tongue is, this looks more like New Mexico than The Mummy. And then my last note is, the tongue talks? That's when it completely lost me. This movie makes no sense. Like, I don't know. The whole time. I was just, what are we watching? I like that, you know, this meteorite lands. She gets some of it in her system, and her turning into a monster means her hair goes black, and she's now in this skin-tight bodysuit, and then she's got this tongue that can't be controlled. So and the dogs turn into drag queen. Like, what the hell? None of this makes any sense, and I get it doesn't have to, but I... This one I did not get at all. It went way over my head. I don't know. It was a thing I watched. Yeah, that's all I got.
It's going to be a high score for Catherine. High score. Joe.
So when you guys were watching this, was this Tubi?
Tubi.
Yes.
Did anybody else, was it I don't know if it was my internet or if it was just really bad resolution.
No, it's bad resolution for mine.
Yes.
Okay. So when the film has bad resolution, does that impact the acting as well?
It must. It must.
Joey.
I couldn't stand the resolution on the Tubi version, so I rented it for like $1.99.
You paid money for this?
Yeah. I rented it on Amazon. It was like $1.99 because I could not handle the
resolution. Well, Mr. Moneybags. Yeah, I couldn't stand the resolution either, or the acting, or the story, but I wouldn't throw any money at it. I was just very lost throughout this film. I like, as we're all talking through it, it was like I had to watch the film in its entirety and then sit in a dark room with no other stimulus so I could just sit there and try to think about and dissect what I just watched so it made sense. I actually had a note that, like, whatever happened to her dogs? And then I too realized much later, like, oh, those were the drag queens that were helping her. They turned into them. I didn't get that. I also, just like Catherine, couldn't understand why, because a chip of this meteorite falls into her soup and she eats it, she turns into LaToya Jackson. That's exactly what she looked like. I was not surprised at all that Robert Englund was in this film. But I was also like almost disappointed that Doug Bradley was in it. Like, I thought he was, too good to do a film like this. But I agree with Catherine. He did seem to be having a bang up time with, his buddy Robert. But my guess is they both got suckered into doing it together. But I've got 50 minutes into it. I'm not really sure what's going on. So, Catherine and Mark, since you guys watched this on Tubi, did you guys get a whole bunch of ads for like online app casinos that you could win like money with no ads?
Yes.
This has nothing to do with the movie. I'm just curious.
No, I did.
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah. It's been in Tubi's been inundated with them.
Yeah. Midwest thing, maybe.
Yeah. I wasn't really following the whole thing about the white nun who goes out into the desert and she can't speak, but now all of a sudden she can. I kind of understand it now. I don't know. The one thing this movie really could have used was the acting prowess of Rats Katzenberg. That's an actual movie. Yeah.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And when the minute, like, the whole tongue thing was bizarre, but I get, and I thought the tongue thing could have been cool. If that tongue thing was just killing people kind of like while she's asleep or something, or without her knowledge or control, that could have been cool. But it came so campy that it's like now her own tongue is her nemesis and like trying to kill it with an iron. And then when it's got fingers, so it can grab things, that seemed weird, but I was willing to go with that. But the minute it started talking like a drag queen who smokes from New Jersey, that's where I kind of lost all faith in it. It was hard to follow. I don't really understand what I watched, but it was a movie.
It was a thing we watched.
It's a better movie than I've ever made.
Oh, fair enough.
True. Well said. Matt, what'd you think?
It was my second favorite of these three. It was very silly, like very silly. Almost, it was way too silly. I thought that the dogs turning it, especially because they were poodles, like her dogs were poodles to begin with. And so the poodles turning into drag queens is like perfect. It's chef's kiss. I thought that was hilarious. And I didn't realize it at first either. I mean, it took me a couple scenes and I was like, oh my God, her dogs turned into drag queens. That I thought was hilarious. And I was hoping that more humor like that would be in it, but it was pretty few and far between. And there was a lot of stuff about her trying to kill her tongue. Like that kept happening over and over and over. but it, you know, there was something I did find it somewhat entertaining though. And it would be a great midnight movie, like at a Bruin View. That would be the only probably way I'd watch it again, is if it was, you know, at a venue like that. I'm not sure what the tone was they were going for. It was, it was kind of all over the map a little bit, but, I did, you know, what can you say about something like this? It was definitely a cult classic kind of vibe to it. And I think it achieved that more than Strangeland did, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I can see, you know, why people, you know, especially if you saw this when you were in high school or middle school or something like that, and it stuck with you because you thought it was hilarious. I can see why our listener enjoyed this enough to recommend it. Which one of the listeners was it that recommended this one?
Tom Malinowski.
Okay. And the actress, Melinda Clark, she came very close to being in Scream. She was she auditioned for the lead role, and then she was I think it was just down to her and Rose McGowan for the Rose McGowan role.
Oh wow.
And she wound up not getting it, but she was on CSI, the original, like the first one, for a long time in a recurring role as a dominatrix, I guess. I never watched that show, but I guess she's well known on that show because it was it was like a fan favorite kind of character that kept at a recurring thing. But you know, this was one, if you're really up for something goofy and completely silly, I guess you could do worse than this as a midnight movie kind of thing.
Yeah. I thought it was so great, you know, when they were coming up to the church, Candy and her drag queen poodles, and they're all dressed to the nine and all that, and they all come in, and all her poodles are literally destroyed within a second. You know, her drag queens just gone, just like that. It's like, I thought it was going to be a big fight scene or... Go ahead, Joe.
What was the connection with the, like, big fat guy who knew Candy they were looking for? Were they like trying to get money from her, or did she owe money or something? Anybody remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Was he the landlord or something?
Is that what it was for? The money?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It was
because they stole a bunch of money at the beginning.
His name was Ralph. Right? Yeah. I guess I don't know that that was ever explained, but he kept trying to find her to get money from her.
Yeah,
but I don't really know why.
I mean, a pickaxe in the chest with that one guy, he was still alive, was pretty funny. I like that part. But all right, Catherine, what do you score this?
I gave it a one.
Joe,
I'm giving it a 1.5.
1.5. Matthew?
I'm giving it 2.5.
Yeah, there you go. 2.5. I'm going to give it a 2.
This was my second favorite film.
Yeah, it's my second favorite.
All righty. Buckle up, everybody.
Drum roll.
Buckle up, because we are headed into something.
I'm just going to mute myself.
It hasn't been this design. Oh my God. I'm so excited. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, Joe has turned off his microphone and turned off his camera.
Joe can't handle the truth.
He can't handle the truth.
Let me know when you guys need me.
We are going into The Greasy Strangler 2016, picked by, I hope I get this, Alani Wild.
I think it's just Alana Wild.
Alana Wild. And this is about a father and son in Los Angeles setting where they run a disco walking tour They both fall in love with Janet, who was a patron on the tour. The father and son start despite one another for her affection. During all this, murders are being committed by a slimy, greasy strangler. Okay. I don't know who I want to go first. I don't know who
just
I want to go
Joe,
first.
Just have Joe go first. Let's get it over with.
No.
For a film.
Yeah, he already went first.
I was hoping Joe would go first for this one.
No,
Catherine, I want you to go first.
All right. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but I did not like this movie at all. I mean, I get what they're... I mean, it's a Napoleon Dynamite kind of thing. Like, I get that. My very first note is, I wish these guys would wear clothes. Janet was my favorite character in this. At least she was. And then when she hooks up with the dad, I was like, nope, I used to like Janet. This whole movie was just so bizarre and so out there. And the whole time, I'm just like... I'm just gobsmacked. I don't even know what to say about it. I'm glad at the end, the father and the son bonded. I get to see, the father and the son coming together, finding a mutual understanding. All right, fine. My very last note on this is WTF! ! Like, what the fuck did I just watch? I will let other people take over that have something good to say.
Matt, should we have Joe just do it?
Sure. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do.
Joe, go ahead.
It's your show, Mark.
It's your show.
So I knew I was in trouble because I counted the logos before the movie started. There are 7 different logos before this movie even started. That's a lot.
Good sign sometimes.
Yeah, other times not, like this one. My first note is, well, that's my first note. My second note is, it's the opening scene and I'm already uncomfortable. I know that during this tour, they were supposed to come with free drinks. My note was, I hope this review comes with free drinks. I did find out that all male genitalia in this film are actually prosthetics, which, thank God, because if not, some of those guys really need to get themselves checked out. The vending machine scene went on way too fucking long. My next note is, so this is like Napoleon Dynamite, except not good. The scene, all right, this part, I will admit, the costuming of the film was kind of funny, especially when Big Ronnie is wearing that crotchless pants suit when he goes to the disco and clearly has his giant member tucked into his pants. I pause. I'm like, am I looking at what I think I'm looking at? I don't want to give anything away, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Detective Jody may have actually been Big Ronnie in disguise. I'm not sure.
You don't say.
I don't want to give anything away. All right. So this was an honest, legitimate question. At the very end, here's my notes verbatim. So if they are the greasy stranglers roaming in the woods, who were the two guys in the firing squad? Anyone? Bueller?
Yeah, I had that question too.
Yeah, so it's like now all of a sudden there's two of each of them. So, this film wasn't for me. It didn't tickle my funny bone, but I watched it because that's what we do here at CineScare. Good, bad, or indifferent, we watch movies. This was one of them.
Well, how did Mark and Matt, how did your significant others enjoy this film?
Michelle hasn't watched it yet because she was out of town, but I showed her I showed her the first like 10 minutes or 15 minutes of it. And she was like, oh, I could totally be down for this. So she's ready to watch it. We just, she was out of town.
Shannon hasn't been able to watch it yet, but she's ready to, because from my reaction to it, she really wants to see it, because I tried to explain it. She heard me laughing downstairs, and when I went up to bed, she's going, "You must have really enjoyed that movie." And I tried to proceed to tell her the story, and I couldn't. I'd start laughing out loud because I started trying to explain the scene, and I just went into a convulsion again. And she sent me out of the room downstairs, and she's going, "You need to just process or something, because I need to go to bed."
Just get out of here, please.
Just get out of here. It was obnoxious. You know what? I'm going to go. This is the best film I've seen all year. When a film puts me into a laughing seizure, it puts me into a laughing seizure, a seizure that had me curl up in a ball on the couch with tears. That hasn't happened since I saw The Wolf of Wall Street, when Leonardo DiCaprio took those Quaaludes and tried to get down those steps. This film is a masterpiece. It's a blend of John Waters, David Lynch, and a hint of Sean Baker. Every shot and every scene in this film, love it. From bullshit artist line to Big Brayden eating those thin breadsticks. Pure gold. This movie exactly knew what it was going for. And this film isn't, it's so bad it's good. This film is so good it's excellent. Every joke landed for me. The music was wonderful. The disco scene with Big Ronnie and Janet dancing. What a fucking song. And what a just beautiful shot of it. It's just so mesmerizing. And then the dancing, just gold, pure gold. And I am now listening to that song. And I'm listening to the whole album. This film had me going so hard. There are so many one-liners that I don't even want to like go through, but I have some. The potato chips, the vending machine, where the gentleman is saying, "Porcho,
porcho,
porcho." I'm sorry. What was the chip? What kind of chip? Porcho. And it went for fucking, what was it, Matt? Like 2 minutes?
Forever. It was, yeah.
Forever. It was great. It was absolutely great. And he's going, I think he's trying to say potato. Yeah, porcho. It's fucking gold. The sex scene with Janet and Big Brayden. Like this, Janet? Like this? I don't think I'm doing it right, Janet.
Oh yeah, where he's having when he's having sex with her. Is this right? Is this good? Am I doing it right? Yeah, that was hilarious.
I don't think I'm doing this right, Jen. Is this right? She just sticks her finger in her mouth, just whoop right.
Yeah,
on. Yeah, it's just fucking great. And when that scene happened, I went into a seizure. I went into a seizure. That was my first seizure. I had two seizures during this film. Second seizure. No, I had three seizures.
See a doctor, Mark.
I had three seizures. The second seizure was right afterwards. I must have still had the tickles, but it put me into another seizure. It was when Big Ronnie was at the breakfast table. He had the grapefruit, and he's pouring like the olive oil, the grease over the grapefruit. And Janet comes in, and she's just wearing her underwear and a shirt, but of course, the pubic hair is completely out of control. Just like it's so prosthetic and it's so funny. And he just proceeds to show her what he would do to her with this grapefruit. And it put me into another seizure. And the biggest seizure I had was when they're sitting on the park bench and Big Ronnie's in his disco outfit. And his schlong is like tucked in, you know, for decency. And he starts talking about how he drove Michael Jackson to the airport. And he just went in that full like monologue of just bullshitting her and just lying. And I went in complete seizure again. This film has made me so happy. I've seen it three times now. I love this film. I'm going to be watching this just like I watched Maverick. I can absolutely understand why this film, why half hate it and half love it. I'm so happy that I am on the side of love it, because what this made, what this film made me feel was just pure joy and happiness. And I loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I loved this movie. I thought that this was, this would be top, probably top five hidden gems of this show. Hidden gem discoveries of this show for me, and maybe top five picks for me, like of all time, yes. of movies I've never seen before and never heard of before. Definitely top five. And I don't mean like picks like the, you know, of movies that were masterpieces already that we picked to watch and talk about, but I mean like movies I'd never seen before. This is up there, at least top 10. This was fucking hilarious. Joe, I had to write this down because Joe said in his review, it's the first scene and I'm already uncomfortable. He said it in a very negative tone, but I was like, this is the first scene and I'm already uncomfortable. Like, I'm so excited when I saw that first scene. I thought, wait a minute, because I heard nothing but shit about this from Catherine and Joe all week long, because Joe had watched it early. And I'm thinking, oh, God, when I went to go watch this, I thought, fuck, I got to sit through a horrible movie, because Joe said it's the worst movie he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And
Catherine wasn't far behind. I started watching this film for the first time 10 minutes before you. We were like on a 10 minute like gap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You were like 10 minutes ahead of me. So yeah. I got through the disco tour, the first disco tour scene, and I was like, okay, you guys completely oversold how bad this is, because I was like loving it. It definitely has this Napoleon Dynamite, if it was directed by David Lynch and he was trying to make a horror comedy. It's that kind of vibe. It's so just absolutely surreal, and it's a very specific kind of comedy. If you like the Tim and Eric sketches on Nick at Night, it's the Tim and Eric show. I can't remember. It's like a long title. I can't remember it now because I used to watch it all. I used to watch it a lot. But those things, it's that kind of.
For the record, I love Tim and Eric.
Yeah, it's. I don't know, like Joe. I feel like 20 something year old you would have loved this fucking movie, but grouchy older you hated it. I feel like this is something we would have like bonded over. I thought that, let's see. And so I have to change a line. Joe likes to shout. I like to smile. my dad likes to shout. I like to smile. I loved that. holy shit, this is amazing. The vending machine scene, I was dying laughing. The tour uniform needs to be our CineScare uniform. The scene he's talking to her at dinner, he's like, hey. The hot dog scene, it's just one scene after the next that it just, I was dying over. I laughed out loud so many times. Like Reznor even was like, what movie are you watching? I was like, Jesus Christ, this is so good. At one point, the girlfriend just lifts her top up. It's cracked me up. Ronnie Schlong is absolutely disturbing. It is the most disturbing penis. And you see it a lot in this. His ass is pretty disturbing too.
Braden's penis. So it's the best. The yeah, review of Braden's penis.
Yeah. every time he would kill somebody and he was all greased up, the first scene where he comes at them running down the hotel walkway or whatever, and he's all greased up and those guys are just watching him come. I was dying.
Am I dead yet?
And then after, yeah. Oh, and then he's like, the guy's like commenting. Oh, and it's I feel like I'm feeling weaker. I'm getting weaker. Jesus Christ. The buddy, there's a friend named Oinker. His death scene is hilarious. Like everything. And then And then Ronnie goes to a car wash to wash off the grease every time he kills somebody. And it's always the same shot of him going, ah, which.
And the editing was great with that. It was perfect editing for it.
Perfect. This thing looks great. It was well shot. Everything looks great about it. The dancing is amazing. His dancing outfit, like Joe said, is the, or maybe it was one of you guys talked about it, is the best. Janet, no, not your ass. Oh, God. And then I just had to say Alana or Alona, which whatever, however you pronounce your name. I want to be your friend. You bring people over to your house to watch shit like this. That is my type of those are my people. This was a beautiful find and a gem, and I can't wait to watch it again with Michelle. I've only watched it once so far, but because I was going to save it for Michelle when we have time. But this was one of my favorite finds ever on this show, and it won't be for everyone. They're obviously, you know, half of us hated it, absolutely hated us, and two of us found it amazing.
Genius.
So some of you, if you know that you're into really, really weird, quirky kind of humor and just deadpan kind of crazy stuff that makes you go, what the fuck? then this is for you. If you're not into that, then maybe not. But this was, I did see another movie that this director did recent or not too long ago. He made a movie with that has Aubrey Plaza and Emile Hirsch and Jemaine Clement, and it's a very, and now I want to go back and watch it because I didn't care for it that much the first time. I thought it wasn't as overboard as this movie, but I found it just a bit too over the top. It wasn't, but this makes it look like a normal film. But it stars Aubrey Plaza, Emile Hirsch, Jermaine Clement from what's the Concords, Flight of the Concords, and Craig Robinson from The Office. And we saw that recently. It came out in 2018, but I think we just rented it maybe a couple of years ago. And it's not a horror movie, but it's definitely quirky, funny like this, definitely. And of course, Ebony and Ivory is out now as well. ABCs of Death 2 he also directed, which I'd never heard of that before, but
Matt Berry's in this, that too, that movie you're talking
about. That's right, he is.
An Evening with Beverly Loughlin.
Also
Zach Cherry from Severance, he's in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I think we watched it because Michelle and I always watch anything that Aubrey Plaza's in because we love her. But it's a pretty big cast. Yeah. It's definitely a little more mainstream than this one. So if you weren't into this one, you might like that one if you like this style of humor. So I definitely would check it out. It's not really horror, though. But yes, Berry's- Alana.
Matt Berry's character's name is Rodney von Donkensteiger.
But Alana, thank you so much for this This was a real, real gem.
Thank you so much for it. It's like, I can't believe, I mean, this movie came out in 2016 and I didn't even know about this film. And oh my God, thank you so much. Like, I want to have a greasy strangler party and just bring non-suspecting people in. It's going, hey, let's have a watch party, and just I just want to see the reactions, and
about half of them are going to have the opposite reaction.
Exactly. They're going to literally look at me and like think I'm a complete sociopath. It's like, you made me watch this. But I mean, you have to pick out the right people. You just can't bring family members in and just sit them down. Hey, watch this.
You have to pick
the right people to do it. But man, what a fucking film.
I'm looking on my Letterboxd for, you know, of the people I follow on there, and it's pretty much split. It's either four stars or whatever, or there's like half stars or whatever. So it's definitely not for everyone. I totally understand that. But
I'm glad it was for me. Yeah. I'm so glad.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so Catherine, what are you going to give the Greasy Strangler?
Half a star.
Half a star. Joe.
Same.
Half a star. Matthew.
I give it 4 stars.
4 stars? I'm giving it 4.5 stars. Okay. Only because it's just not, it wasn't scary, but it was everything else perfect for me. So I'm just giving it 4.5. God, I love this film. So, this is weird. Okay, wait. So that's 1, 5. So that's 9.5 for Greasy Strangler. And the Killer Tongue is 1, 2, 3, 5 for Killer Tongue. And Strangeland is 9. Right?
Yeah.
So Greasy Strangler wins by 0.5 point.
Wow.
So Miss Wild and Lana, you get a sweatshirt. Whatever you're liking, you pick it out. I'll reach out to you and tell you that you're the winner after you listen to the episode, after Friday. So wonderful, wonderful. What a gem that film made this whole entire episode so fun for me. And I might do this again, you know, not next time, but if there's listeners out there and you have like an obscure horror film or your a favorite horror film that we haven't reviewed, we could do this again.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Who's all right. Next? Well, my pick is next. And this time.
Oh, do it. Do it, Matt.
Joe.
Yes.
We got a little Jack Nicholson horror for you, Joe, next time. So we're going to be watching some Jack Nicholson horror movies, if you don't mind. First up,
depends.
We've got, what?
You said, if you don't mind. And I said, well, that depends.
So the first movie we've got is The Witches of Eastwick from 1987, starring Jack Nicholson, Cher, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, Richard Jenkins, and a cast of others. And this is, unfortunately, this is for rent on Amazon or Apple or wherever you rent your movies.
I own it.
Oh, nice. I should buy it too, because this was one of my favorites and I have not watched it in a very long time. I was huge fan of it when
I love this film.
Yeah, huge fan. So again, that's Witches of Eastwick. And the next Jack Nicholson movie is from 2017, and that is Mom and Dad, starring Nicolas Cage, Selma Blair, and Ann Winters. That's Mom and Dad.
Jack Nicholson's in that?
And then last but not least, from 2011, Silent House, starring Elizabeth Olsen, Adam Treese, and Eric Sheffer Stevens. So those are Jack Nicholson movies. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. You might be a little confused. It's Jack Nicholson, meaning Jack Nicholson in Witches of Eastwick, Nick Cage in Mom and Dad, and Elizabeth Olsen in Silent House. So that's Jack, comma Nick, comma Olsen movie. So Jack Nicholson.
Very clever.
Sorry.
So clever.
Where are the last two streaming?
Oh, Mom and Dad is streaming on Tubi. Sorry, I got a little carried away with my theme. And then Silent House is on Netflix, and I believe also Tubi. And let's see. Tubi, Netflix, and Amazon Prime.
How clever of you. That was really clever, Matt.
Thank you. Yeah. I was actually thinking of doing Jack Nicholson horror movies, but then I don't know what the... Joe said something about Nicolas Cage, and I thought, well, I would like to do... Well, I could do Nick. All I need is an Olsen. And sure enough, Elizabeth Olsen was in a horror movie. So, and Mom and Dad is one I've wanted to watch, too. I haven't seen that. And he goes total rage cage in this one too, apparently. I came very close to doing Vampire's Kiss, though. So at some point, we might have to do a Nick Cage pick, total pick, but Vampire's Kiss was very close, but no. So Witches of Eastwick, again, for rent, Mom and Dad on Tubi, or for rent, and then, of course, Silent House on Netflix and Amazon Prime, Tubi.
Awesome.
So those are your picks for next time. Please, in the meantime, please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. It's just sitting there waiting for you to take it home. Anything else, Joe? Any? I know I ran into Catherine at the horror market here in Burbank, and it was a pretty fun little horror market. I think Michelle might get a booth next time for some of her horror art.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So. Anything else, Joe?
No, I got nothing.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's it for this time, and we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bullshit artist.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Braden's penis, so it's the review of Braden's penis.